Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. I speak to you this day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This past week in the church calendar, we marked the conversion of St. Paul. Paul is one of the most pivotal characters, in the spread of the gospel in the early church. We read Paul almost every single week in church, as we have so many of his letters in which he addressed many controversies and arguments that we found in various early Christian communities as they were struggling with the question what it meant to be a follower of Christ and how that set them apart from the rest of the world. One community that Paul wrote to that seems to have had many controversies is the Corinthian community of Christians. Today, in our reading from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, we encounter one of these controversies that was taking place in the community. Now, some of these controversies that we read about in the letters of Paul, seem to be so far from the modern church. But if we really look at what Paul is saying, we can see that the controversy may be old, but the wisdom that he asks to offer the world is not. It has stood the test of time. Paul is writing to the Corinthian community in our reading for today because they were struggling with this question. Was it okay to eat meat that was sacrificed to pagan idols? As I say, this does not seem like an issue that has anything to do with us today, but St. Paul's wisdom in his answer has a lot to offer us. Let's start by looking what is actually going on in the text. There were two factions within the Corinthian church. One faction is well-educated and from the upper class of society, and they think that Christians should be free to eat meat that has been offered to idols in pagan temples. This faction thinks that people should be able to eat this meat because they know that idols are simply not real. It is a made-up sacrificial system. To them, there is only one God, that is Jesus Christ. And since idols are made of wood and metal, they are not real and actually have no real power. These are the people who believe they have the knowledge, as Paul puts it, because they are smart enough to know that idols are simply fake, that they are just pieces of wood and stone. The upper class also believed that you could eat meat sacrificed in pagan temples because the feasts of upper class society took place in the pagan temples of the time. And if they were not to go to these feasts, they would have been excluded from their social circles. Or if they didn't want to go to the feasts, they had enough money to buy their own meat, and they didn't have to go to the pagan temple at all. So that's one group in the Corinthian church. But there was another faction or group within the Corinthian church, and that was the ordinary working class person who had very little meat in their diet because of their economic situation. For these people, eating meat in the pagan temples was a real temptation. The only way they could have a substantial amount of meat in their diet was if they returned to paganism, the old religion, if they turned away from Christ and re-entered the life of the pagan temple. And this is something they simply did not want to do, for they were now followers of Jesus. For this group of people, eating meat offered in the temple was a real threat to their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, St. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church in order to adjudicate between these two groups. All indications from reading Paul's other letters are that he would have agreed theologically with the first group of people. Idols, he would have said, are not real, and therefore they have nothing to do with one's salvation, and therefore anyone should eat whatever they want. But this is not what Paul says to the church. Paul says to them, "Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up." Ultimately, Paul agrees with those who are not eating meat. At the end of our reading for today, we heard that he would be a vegetarian rather than eat meat. Although he agrees with the theological argument and logic, or knowledge as Paul puts it, of the first faction of people, he disagrees with them because what they are doing by eating meat might be logical, but in doing so, they are being stumbling blocks to others in the community. And since they are being stumbling blocks to others' faith in their community, There is no love of God or neighbor in that, according to Paul. Simply put, by the rich in the church eating meat, sacrificed to idols, they were being impediments to faith of the poor in the church, and Paul would have none of it. He could simply not agree with that. Paul is trying to tell the church, and this applies to us as modern Christians as well, that although we may know rationally that something is not wrong, if it is going to cause others harm or to lose faith in Christ, then we should simply stay clear of it so that no one loses faith in Jesus. For Paul, if we are doing anything to hurt another believer, even if it can be theologically justified, then we are hurting Christ himself, and there is no love of God or neighbor in that. There will always be those in the church who are tempted to leave the faith because of idols and the temptations of the surrounding culture, and the church in its love must do everything it can to help those people, Paul says. An example to explain all of this, a more modern example, would be the denominations or Christian traditions that came out of the temperance movement in the 1900s. Many churches founded during the temperance movement use juice today instead of wine at communion, because in their founding they were dealing with many who struggled with alcohol, and out of love they simply did not want to be a stumbling block to those who struggled with alcohol. And although drinking wine and beer is found on almost every page of the Bible, they felt out of love that they should not be a stumbling block to their brothers and sisters, so they did away with wine at communion, and to this day those church traditions still use juice instead of wine. Now, this is just one example of countless throughout the history of the church that Paul's wisdom has offered to the church, that he offered to the Corinthian church that still sticks with us today. But his wisdom still has something to say to our churches today and to our communities today, even here in Sudbury. As many of you probably know and have seen on the news, there is a movement to bring a casino to Sudbury. Logically, there are many pros to bringing a casino to the city. It would bring new jobs, both in building the building, but also all the spin-off economic development, restaurants and bars and everything that comes along with it. It would provide for entertainment for a night out, and many, many people, of course, would go for a night and spend a few dollars, and that would be it for them. But of course, there is another side to bringing a casino to Sudbury, a side which would lead to social decay and destruction of our community. You can look at any other city around the world and see the social costs that having a casino brings. Drug and alcohol addiction always increases. Prostitution and domestic abuse increase. And I could go on and on. And many people go bankrupt because they become addicted to gambling. And all of these issues lead to the breakup of families and many other unintended consequences simply by building a casino. We as the church, as the Christian community, must not and do not speak out against the building of a casino here in Sudbury because of some strict moralism against gambling, but rather we speak out against it because it tempts others to move away from God. It becomes a stumbling block to people's faith. And unfortunately, many, many of the people who it becomes a stumbling block for are already the most vulnerable in our society. We as the church here in Sudbury speak out against the casino, not out of moralism, but out of love for our neighbor, as Christ commanded us. If we as the church are stumbling blocks for others, Christ tells us and makes us clear in Scripture that one day we will have to account for that. So my brothers and sisters, I encourage you to love your neighbor. Speak out against the casino. Feel free to get involved with one of the many groups opposing this coming to Sudbury. We may know in our heads rationally that a casino would bring large economic benefits to the city, but we can't let knowledge puff us up. We must act out of love for our neighbor. As we mark the conversion of St. Paul this week, his wisdom still has something to offer us today, even here in Sudbury. I would like to end today with the collect for the conversion of St. Paul. Let us pray. Almighty God, by the preaching of your servant Paul, you cause the light of the gospel to shine throughout the world. May we who celebrate his wonderful conversion follow him in bearing witness to your truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen.